the topic of Adam Chashuv by itself. What exactly are some of the details and some of the other applications of Adam Chashuv? So one question right off the bat, what is an Adam Chashuv? What does it take? And as you are here in your university years, preparing for your life out there in the world, what does it take to be an Adam Chashuv? What's an Adam Chashuv? So, yes, Morty? Talmud Chacham. Okay, so that sounds good. Definitely you fit the right answer from Yeshiva's perspective. But do you see that here anywhere? What exactly is the... Sorry? Yeah, where'd you see it? You saw it really in the Taz, probably, right? Because the Taz was explaining why it is that the Rambam requires a clarification, that she has to say something. And normally, that's not the case. She doesn't have to say anything. So what's special here? So it could be that we need to establish that she wants to marry a Talmud Chacham. Of course, this was only in his door, now in this door. Everybody wants to marry a Talmud Chacham. It's clear, but in his door there was some suffix about this. Presumably what he means is not that, oh, because the person's a Talmud Chacham, it's a drawback. Maybe he'll be too much of a master, or he's not going to make a living or whatever, so we need extra clarification. Presumably it's because if the Talmud Chacham is the whole chat, if the point is that we're using Hanas Adam Chashuv to make it work, so we have to establish that she cares about this chashivus, and that not that it's a take it or leave it, that, okay, he's at least equal to everybody else, but the question of whether she actually is focused on this chashivus, that's something that we need to clarify. So yes, it sounds like from the Taz that we're talking about a Talmud Chacham. But do we see that in the Rishonim? Do we see that here? What do we see? So, according to... Yes, sir?
Sometimes based on the person giving the object, meaning the eye of the beholder.
Ah, okay, or the eye of the giver. Right, the eye of the beholder and the giver.
Yes.
Right. So that's right. That is an idea you find in some of the Rishonim. They quote such an idea that it's completely subjective, essentially. That it's not really chashuv in some kind of formal objective sense or some kind of universally agreed upon sense, but it just is dependent on whatever this kala would seem to think is distinguished. And if she is a butterfly enthusiast and this guy is a famous butterfly expert, so then that's going to be chashivas for her. That's enough to qualify. What about Rashi? What does Rashi say here? Does Rashi define it? So Rashi on the daf, here in Zayin Ralf, Rashi says, "Ba'adim chashiv askinen she'eno rogil lekabel matanos." He's not in the practice of normally receiving matanos. So, could I ask a question on that? If that's the definition. Yes, Marty?
Why are you assuming that's the definition?
Well, okay, so explain. Yes.
I assume from that I was saying that he's on the cluster whatever qualifications that brings. Uh-huh. Why is it a specific hamna? Because if he was on the cluster and he did accept presents, uh-huh, so it wouldn't necessarily be any more hana-able if he accepted the woman's presents. The point is, he's on the cluster, whatever qualifies as that. And he doesn't normally accept presents, and that because he doesn't normally accept presents, when he does, that's added on up.
So I think you're right. I think you skipped right to the answer, essentially. But one could have read this Rashi to say that it sounds like here he's defining it. Adam Chashuv is somebody who's not in the practice of accepting gifts. And then that would have prompted the question, well, why is that anything significant? So maybe he's just not interested in things, or maybe he is adhering to the maxim, to the pasuk of Sani Matana Sichia. Whatever it is, doesn't mean that it's a particular thrill to the other party to get them to change their policies, because it's a challenge, it's a dare. What exactly is there that creates a hana on the part of the giver just because of that? So I think Morty is correct that you have to say that's only part of the sentence, that here he's not coming to tell you, or it's not even the way you formulated, I guess, it's not even a part of the sentence. That this isn't the definition of an Adam Chashuv. Adam Chashuv is defined some other way. But a detail of the story is that he's not somebody who regularly accepts gifts. But what is an adam chashuv, that's not indicated here at all. Okay, so however we set the standard for an adam chashuv, do we have to have a formal process? So what happens if the situation comes up l'maisa? What do we do to figure out if the person is an adam chashuv or not?
What is halacha ma'aseh, about what qualifies as a
question? That's itself a good question, so we don't really have a strong halacha ma'aseh answer.
Anyway.
It's not clear, because in Shulchan Aruch this is just broader the phrase adam chashuv. Yeah. So we'll have to figure out a little bit more if we can pin down what it is exactly that makes this work. It seems to be, well, some of the details that we'll talk about will certainly address the issue somehow, so let's hold off on that a little bit. But let's assume we have a standard. So now, do we have to have a certification process? Do you have to get ordination as an adam chashuv? What exactly makes you an adam chashuv? There's a line here in the Rush, which I don't know if I put in the Marva Kovalis, if not, but you should have. But the last line, in the first siman in the Rush, siman Aleph, Parak Aleph, siman Aleph in the Rush, which is in the earlier Gemara where the Gemara was talking about Nasan Huv, Amrahi, and the like. So there, we saw that Tosfos over there that brings in the concept of Adam Chashuv. So the Rush mentions that. And the last line of the Rush is, V'tzarech Hakiras Chacham, Mi Nikra Adam She'enel Chashuv, L'hatira B'lo Get. So we need a Hakiras Chacham. We need to have an investigation. Who is called what? What are we trying to establish? That he is a Adam She'ein el chashuv. In other words, if this happened, and then she decides she wants out, so she says, well, it's okay, there's no wedding here because I gave him the money, not he gave me the money. So does she get off the hook right away? Or do we say, well, wait a minute, maybe he's an adam chashuv? So this is a question. And it seems like the Rush is implying here that the default position is that maybe somebody is chashuv. And in order to establish him as not chashuv, to get her out of the marriage, you would need to prove that he's not chashuv. While the Shuvah Sarashva, some Chaylik Aleph and some Tafresh Gimel, the Shuvah Sarashva was of the opinion, which you could kind of hear from the very phrase itself, that stam bnei adam are not chashuv. That the basic definition of people is that they are normal, that they are not chashuv people. So it's a good question how we paskin on that issue. Because the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rush. Shulchan Aruch and Eben Ezer and Chav Zayin, did I put this on? No, I really should have. I'm not sure why I didn't. I apologize. But Eben Ezer and Simon Chav Zayin, so the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rush, that we have to worry that the man is chashuv. And we'll have to establish that A, he's not chashuv, and B, it's extremely hot in here. The question is why both those things would have to be true. They're probably independent of each other. But the second one is certainly the case. So, if you take like that position, it sounds like the Shulchan Aruch is passing like the Rush. Although it's not 100% clear. They also quote the Rashba, and in Siman Kuf Tzadi, in Choshen Mishpat, the Shulchan Aruch talks about buying a field with a Hanas Adam Chashuv, and there the Shulchan Aruch says it only works if he is Adam Chashuv. So it sounds like some people are not Adam Chashuv. You don't say Shulchan Aruch, oh, that if somebody gives a coin to the purchaser to transfer land, it works. It doesn't say that. It says if it's an Adam Chashuv, it works. So it sounds like the assumption is you're not an Adam Chashuv. So some explain the distinction that here Shulchan Aruch is assuming you have to prove yourself not chashuv, and there the Shulchan Aruch is assuming the average person is not chashuv, is just hamotzi mechaver ol haraya, that in the case of mamonos,
If you want to claim the sale went through, you're going to have to prove that it did. And in this case, we're mafkin because of Eishes Ish. Okay, so far so good? Yes, sir.
You suggest another reason?
Please.
That
go for it.
That in the case of Kiddushin, there's mm-hmm. an opinion of Talmud's of Tanja's and of Arm Blue. If you're going to mm-hmm. take that more universal approach that anyone can really get out of the Pasha, then maybe their intent is playing into it. In other words, a woman wants to be married and inherently.
So just to clarify, which of the two following things are you saying? Are you saying that because of Tavu Meit of Tendu, so we'll just be more makel on this, or makel, so to speak, machmer in terms of the get issue, but we'll be more expansive on this? Or are you kind of conflating the two different types of interest? One, that she's interested in marrying him, and two, that she gets a thrill from his accepting a gift, that somehow one leads to the other. That normally there's a certain threshold for who's going to impress you. But here, because she's looking to marry him, so A, that threshold goes down a little bit. And two, because also she's looking to get married, stam, and this is a chance to marry someone, so that leaves the threshold down even further. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah,
second one. Okay, that's quite a chiddush, because I don't think the issues are really connected. I think Tav Meit of Tendu is just telling us that maybe we're more makel, so to speak. The word makel is really not the right word, because it's going to come up as a chumrah. We'll gather you get, but we're more ready to let it count because of that. And you're saying that that status of Adam Choshev, Davka, not just as a suffix, but that the status of Adam Choshev comes from this point. Which is stam, you know, I don't think it's supported here in the sugya, but it's an interesting question. You know, why don't we say, really, that any couple, you know, who are in love with each other, so they enjoy giving each other gifts, so the truth is, that should make us objective of Adam Choshev in both directions automatically. The concept of Adam Choshev should always be there. Which to some extent it is, as we'll discuss, but apparently not enough. But it's an interesting question to bring up. But here, in our sugya, it really seems that they're separated from each other, because we're not assuming that every chassan is an Adam Choshev. And according to what you're suggesting, we should. Although we say Chassid Dom L'Melech, but you know, there's one of those West Chassid Dom L'Melech. But the assumption that it's about marrying him, as I mentioned at the beginning of the year, he's a tzaddik, also he's a tzaddik and a melech, but not necessarily another question.
Also, it seems to me that you can't really conflate. I was thinking about bringing up the sugya of like Almanash, Shehu Chacham, or whatever, like all the different Kiddushin, Al Tanai. But like, it doesn't seem to be the case here, because that's just the random, that's a Kiddushin, but it's Al Tanai. This is where I think
it should be the Kiddushin. Yeah. That should be the. Yeah. Point well taken. So the Rishonim also discuss here, how does this work? We spoke earlier in the year about Machlokas about Chalipin. Then when it comes to Chalipin, so we paskin that Chalipin is done with Kalev Shel Kamet. Right? That is the view of Rav in the Gemara and Bava Metzia. That Chalipin involves a Sudr being given to the Machne from the Kamet. While the other opinion of the Gemara is Levi, that it goes the other way around. That the Makne gives the Kone a Suda. So Rishonim asks that according to this Sugya, they're both problematic. Because where does Adam Choshev fit in? So Levi should only have his situation work in the Adam Choshev situation. And Rav should make an exception for an Adam Choshev. But both opinions seem to be independent of Adam Choshev. In other words, Rav, who says normally it's got to be the Kone giving the Siddur, he should say, well, unless the Kone is an Adam Choshev, in which case the Machne can give it to him. Or vice versa, Levi, who says that the Machne always gives it to the Kone, so he should say only if he's an Adam Choshev. So what is the interaction between the two? The Rishonim discuss this, and they note various issues, that it could be that the standard from the Hana is different here. That when it comes to Kiddushin, so she's more ready, this is a little similar, I guess, to what John was just saying, that she's matched the Hana more. And therefore, maybe that's why it should work in a Kiddushin context, but not in a Chalipin context, perhaps. Or also, Rishonim point out,
that it's problematic to turn this into Khalifin. Because Khalifin, first of all, doesn't work with money. So if we say this counts as money, so then that's not going to work for us. And probably more than that, Khalifin requires an actual kli. And here, just amorphous hana, presumably shouldn't have worked for Khalifin. So that seems to be a problematic point as well. How about the following? So, we mentioned a minute ago that you can use Shulchan Aruch and Kuf Tzadi, as we said, says you can use Adam Chashuv Hana to sell a field. Right? But if I want to sell you a field, and you are Chashuv, let's say you're a shear system, so I want to sell more to your field. So instead of him giving me money, I can give him money, and I'll get such Hana from that, that my giving you the money will transfer the field to you. So Nassim Yishtetner had the truth about this. You're waiting for that. The truth is Lahoris Nassim, Chelik et Aleph, and Simon Kufchav, where he asks, what question could you perhaps ask on that? Maybe we could pare things down a little bit more. Right? I want to give you a field. So I give you a dollar, I get a thrill out of you taking a dollar, that transfers the field. Is there a step that could be cut out here? That's Jacob.
Why do you give
him
a dollar?
Instead.
Just give him the field.
Just give him the field. Right? How thrilling would it be for you to be able to walk around saying that I gave Morty Dube in my field? So why don't you say that's already the Hana? So what do you say to that? Should that work? Okay. Fine. Moving on. Right, yeah, why shouldn't it work? Yes?
You only get the hana after you get the field, but what's
making
you get the field?
Oh, so asmachta, or like kind of out of order. You know, you have to say that the field over hano boing kaechad,
right,
which we have precedent for. So it's not so impossible, but it's still interesting. So he has a different problem with it. It's that you don't have a maisa kinyan, that you need the field to be one thing and the maisa kinyan to be something else. So if I gave you a separate dollar, so the thrill that comes from that dollar, that could be the Maisa Kenyan. But if I'm just giving you the field, then that's the thrilling part, so where's the Kenyan? Kenyan has to be its own independent part of it. And then he goes on to explain, I think this is what he's saying. So this, I remember, I definitely did put on the Marmot Kol Mosapasuk in the Chayisara, that when Avram buys the field from buys the field for Maris and Machpelah from Ephraim. So the pasuk in the end of Rishon says, "Vayishma Avram al Ephraim, Vayishkol Avram al Ephraim es haKesef, Asher diber baOznei bnei Ches, Arba meos shekel Kesef over laSochem." So why does the Torah have to all of a sudden emphasize? Oh, by the way, it was valid currency. It was over laSochem. Would we have thought that the purchase would be done with invalid currency? Why is that necessary to emphasize? Right? It's a little bit out of nowhere. So if I understand his point correctly, he basically explains that we know that when Avram approaches the people to buy the field, what do they say to him? Shmaeinu Adani Nasi Elokim Atavas Ocheinu Mivchar Tvareinu Kvoros Mesacha Ish Mimenu Eskivro Oyichla Mimcha Mikvor Mesacha. What does it sound about? What does it sound like about the reception he got? He's an Adam Chashuv, right? They're basically saying that, oh, it would be such an honor for you to use our field for your wife's burial. Now, setting aside the question of how sincere they were, because it sounds like after that they weren't so sincere, but taking it at face value, so it seems like there's an Adam Chashuv possibility here. So maybe you could have thought that that itself could create the Kenyan. Because they're giving the field to him, it is enough of a hana that the great Avram is taking the field, that's going to count. So therefore, to show that he didn't use that, Torah emphasizes that the money he paid was real. Because he could have given them money that didn't really work, money that wasn't over the soldier, And maybe Ephraim himself would have been happy with that because he got the cub and selling it to him. But then he wouldn't be able to use that money for anyone else because try passing that money to another person. This is the dollar I got when the great Ephraim bought my fuel. And he'll say, well, that's great, but it's still just a normal dollar to me. It's not going to bring me any cub. So the Torah is emphasizing that it wasn't artificially enhanced money based on the covenant that was involved, it was real money. And I assume his point being that it wasn't really an option to make a Kenyan stand through the covenant, through the chashivas of Avram getting the field. Yes, sir?
Were the Nefe trying to give over the field in a other question type of way? Maybe they offered to give it over for free. Is that how... what Kenyan would they have used if not for...
Right, it's a good question. So it would have been a matana, presumably, if they were sincere. And then it would have needed still the act of chazaka, let's say, it would need some other Kenyan in order for the transaction to really be formal. But the question of whether they'd be giving it as a matana or as a sale, one way or another, they would need some way to clarify that. Okay, another point to bring up. Yesterday we spoke at some length about the mechanics here, whether this hana, the idea that Adam Chashuv creates a hana, and that could affect Kiddushin and maybe other things. So we talked about, is that derived from Shava Kesef Kekesef? That essentially, since you're trying to use money, but Shava Kesef Kekesef means it could also be something that's worth money, and since services are also worth money, so it's Shavakas Bekesef. Or is it a different track? Is it that Hana itself creates, Shibud creates a Kenyan? So there are those who point out that maybe Rashi is emphasizing a point that makes it sound like it really is Shavakas Bekesef. Which Rashi are we talking about? It's Rashi Bahahi Hana. Right? So the Gemara just says that the Hana is enough. Right? The language of the Gemara is that Bazma Khashim Askin the Bahayana the Kamakabal Matanamina Gamra Makla Nafsha. So you could read the Gemara by itself to say that the Etzem Hana, just the Hana itself, is what affects the Kedushin. But it sounds like Rashi is trying to avoid saying that. Because Rashi's language is Satirtsa Zos Vaseis Pruta Adam Shifaisenu Lazel Kabel Hemana Matan, which is language which we saw similar language to this in the context of the Halva Gemara. Right? The Gemara was trying to figure out how we assess the benefits you would get from having a loan extended. So here, how are we measuring it? That if he wasn't going to accept the gift from her, because he's just too cautious, he's just too fancy to accept the gift from her, so would she pay someone else to try to convince him? And the Shava Pruta that she would pay someone else because she's saving that Shava Pruta, that's what makes it happen. So it sounds like from Rashi, perhaps, that Rashi is really emphasizing a Shava Pruta, Shava Kesef, Kesef idea. And that if we could quantify it through money, and then she saves that money, that's really what makes it work. And the Taz in Yeridaya points out that if that's the way it works, it sounds like from Rashi, that you don't really need a other b'chashev of any even subjective standard. Because let's say she wants to give money to him, not to have her give money, get money from him. She wants to give money to him. And she would hire someone to take the money to him. But because he's ready to take it anyway, she doesn't have to hire someone. So she saves a Shana Pruta. So according to Rashi, it should work. Anytime that there is some service that you could have paid someone else to do, and now you're being saved from it, that should be enough. We shouldn't need even any kind of even a subjective Adam Chashuv in order for that to work. So that's a question if you want to use that kind of way of understanding it. So maybe it should work even without that. So this goes to Morty's previous question, Halacha Maisa, what do we say, who is an Adam Chashuv? So it's hard to say, because we see various ways of getting to this understanding of what's happening here, and they're going to affect what exactly is the definition of Adam Chashuv. Yes, sir?
Does it matter if
Is there a difference that she would pay it versus she could pay it? I mean, let's say someone with power would suggest the idea to her, and they give, she gave Jonah a mana, and the Chasha will accept her gift.
So you're not using him as the example who's not an Adol Chasha? Why don't you take the same example and say, if you give a Shliach, and you say, if you give Jonah the mana, then that... Right, let him be the Adol Chasha, not be the... We're naming one guy and not naming the other guy. We're going,
Versus a case where she won, versus a case where she initiated wanting to do that?
Probably shouldn't matter. The assumption here seems to be that if it's really of value to her for this to happen, so that if she needed to, she would pay.
And in one case, the one case is where you're actually taking her money, where the other case you're kind of, she didn't really have any interest until you suggested the fact that it...
So the reason I don't think it's that is because both here and in the Ribbis Gemara, they both sound like it's the hypothetical, that if... The only way this could happen would be she'd have to pay someone, she'd do it. So therefore it's worth that much. And that's the way to understand it. Okay. So speaking of Ribbis, so there is an interesting discussion. The Shelas Yavetz. The Shelas Yavetz was Rebbe Akiva Emden. Rebbe Akiva Emden died in 1776. That's how you remember when the revolution was. So according to Rebbe Akiva Emden, he had a chumrah. It said that if this is in the Shelas Yavetz and Chelik Beis instead of the Zayin, says that if you have lent somebody money and that person is an Adam Chashuk, so then you should not be able to give that person, the person who borrowed from you, you should not be able to give him any gifts during that time. So normally we have a problem in the other direction. That because of Ribbis, so we say that if I lent you money, you're not allowed to pay me overt interest, and you're not allowed to pay me other forms of interest either. You can't give me any type of benefit that is in acknowledgement of the loan, or that looks like it's an acknowledgement of the loan. So maybe we should say, or Yaakov Emden does say, that what about the other direction? What about the lender giving a gift to the borrower? That if the borrower is an Adam Chashuv, so then that will send value back to the lender. And you're not allowed to give value back to the lender. You have to not pay him for the loan. And here, by accepting the gift, you're paying him for the loan. That was the chumrah that Rabbi Yaakov Emden and a few others put forward. And Joseph Engel in the Gilyon HaShas takes it even further and says, you know what, you're right. And he doesn't even have to be an Adam Chashuv, actually. Why not? Because an Adam Chashuv, that's a standard where you get a Shava Pruta upon it. But everybody who you want to give a gift to, there's at least a little bit on it. That's why you're giving the gift. So even if Hana is less than a Shavu Pruta, shouldn't matter, it should still be a problem of Ribbis anyway. Even on a very small microscopic level, you are giving a gift to the lender by accepting his gift. You hear the kasha? Joni seemed upset.
Yeah, it's
stern.
It's not Shavu Pruta, is it subject to Ribbis?
So it should be, if it's any kind of value. We have this very wide concern of not paying back to the, not giving anything extra to the lender. So if it's less than a shot of proof, it should be a problem.
It's not a share of mama.
So even if it's not a share of mama, the question is whether there has to be mama. If it's something, because we have a concept of ribbis dvarim too.
Right.
So even if you say something nice to him, it's a problem. We have these very ephemeral types of ribbis. I believe he mentions that, especially that it's comparable to Ribbis Dvarim. It doesn't have to be mama. So Rabbi Yashiv, and I think a few others have this approach as well, but Rabbi Yashiv has this in his Kedushim on Kedushim, which I just picked up yesterday in the farm. So how's that for a commercial? So Rabbi Yashiv has this, but it's another farm also. He does not think this chumra is a problem. He says, Ein kan beis mechash, there's no issue at all. Because, he says,
he thinks when it comes to Kiddushin, so we're singling out a certain focusing on it, zeroing on it, and being matched with that as an instrument of Kiddushin. So, okay, she's happy that he's accepting her gift, and she is being matched with that happiness towards the Kiddushin. But in the context of ribbis, we use the scale of the net value. At the end of the day, who's profiting and who's losing? So if, let's say, the giver gives a dollar gift to the borrower, so he gave up a dollar, he got back some hana, but it's probably not a dollar's worth of hana. So chances are he still ends up losing. So the fact that there's some hana coming back to him is not going to outweigh whatever he's losing by giving up the money, and therefore he's pretty sure that it's not a ribbis problem. Now it's interesting, let's assume that's true halacha maisa, but if one did worry about Rabbi Yaakov Emden's point, that it's an issue to give a gift to the borrower, you could probably ask a bigger question, a more problematic situation, similar to what we said before about the field. Right, why don't we say that the very loan itself is a hana? Forget about a gift afterwards. Right? I'm not allowed to get paid for giving you a loan. That's what ribbis is. So if I'm going to loan you money, then I'm going to take great pride in the fact that I lend money to the great Jonas. I'll use you as a question. Right? Everyone's going to know I'm the one who got Jonah back on his feet. It's already not such a good story if I'm publicizing this fact. But at least inside, I'll know that I'll get tremendous pride from being aware just by myself that I'm the one who was able to lend money to the great Jonah. So why don't we call that ribbis? Right? So I am getting something out of this loan. So I think I remember once hearing somebody discuss this question. I couldn't remember exactly where to find it. I think actually I remember hearing it on a Yiddish CD, so it'd be very hard to search for. But I think that the answer probably was, or is, or should be, that mitzvah is lav lehenes nitna. That it's a mitzvah to lend money to people who are in need. So the halvah itself is a mitzvah. So even if there is a hana that comes from that act, that hana is not going to be considered a hana in of itself, and especially to constitute an avera shouldn't factor in. Especially if, when taken to its logical conclusion, the idea that the Adam Chashiv can never be helped is clearly an impossible conclusion. So we have to address how that's going to be the conclusion. But in any event, that's probably the answer in of itself. But even if there was any hana, it's still going to be in the context of Mr. Slav Lahan's name. But Rabbi Yashin's answer would apply to this as well, that overall, even if you get hana, it's less than the money you're giving away, so although you're getting it back, so you have to figure that out. Maybe a Rabbi Yashin's answer wouldn't apply, but I think Mr. Slav Lahan's name is enough of an approach. Hi.
According to Shita's, like the Rambam rule that Kiddushin is a mitzvah, right? Then maybe Adma Chasha shouldn't work for that logic.
You're saying because the Hana doesn't count? Well,
yeah.
If assuming that the Hana is the giving of the coin, and also it's not her mitzvah, and also maybe it could be both when it's not a problematic Hana.
Right.
You have to understand what exactly Mitzvah Lahanis means. So you could probably distinguish between a hana that you choose again to be matched as a source of Kiddushin and the hana that comes automatically that you think might be a halachic problem. Now the exact parameters of Mitzvah Lahanis are a little bit subject to machlokas, but on the surface, especially again since the conclusion is impossible, to say that you're not allowed to help another person who needs a loan is an impossible conclusion, so it's probably enough of an approach. So, I think I have things perfectly timed for some synergy. And since that is the key value in life, so we have to grab that. But yes, Jacob, what did you want to say?
Just based on ribbis, isn't the whole point that the lender is trying to help the borrower? So
right.
The point of ribbis is that if you're helping, you shouldn't do it for personal reasons and to take that.
Maybe that's the point.
So then, is there really any worry about RIBIS in the other direction? I mean, if I, as the lender, am getting benefit from giving the borrower a present, meaning it's not causing any issues in terms of helping him get off his feet or anything, so why is that a problem at all?
Well, the problem with RIBIS is never that you're compromising the aid that you're giving to the... I mean, I shouldn't say never. That might be an understanding, actually. But we're not assuming that the problem with RIBIS is that you're compromising his ability to benefit from it. On the surface, the definition of RIBIS is you're being paid for the loan, or more specifically, you're being paid for waiting for your money, as the language of the market. But basically, to boil down to a three-word definition, you're payment for loan. So if I'm giving you money, I'm supposed to give it to you for free, without any kind of payment. So if I get hung up from the fact that you're accepting it, how much should we worry about that? That's essentially the question. Okay, so I think our timing is quite perfect for some synergy, because we're almost out of time. But if you did all the marmakomas today, then we'll get to the bottom of the list. So okay, also perfect for synergy, because the last was a Purim marmakom. Megillah, Daf Zayin, and Aran. So I think we'll use that for Yana Dioma on Sunday a little bit. I have to figure out exactly what time she'll be on Sunday. Tomorrow sure should be normal time. Sure, Sunday probably a little early. But we can talk about some Purim and Yanim. But I guess we'll just leave with this cliffhanger then, that there is a possible relevance of Adam Chashuv in the sugya of Shalach Manas. And there, the point on the Marmar Komos for today is the Gemara on Dav Zayin and Megillah, not to be confused with Dav Zayin and Kedushin, or perhaps to be associated with Dav Zayin and Kedushin. So the Gemara talks about two brothers who could not afford to both have their own seudah and send out food as Shalach Manas. So they essentially traded food with each other, having machalf and ahadadi. So the same food was going back and forth between them. So the question is the Gemara is assuming that they are fulfilling Shalach Manas and Seudas Purim together that way. So it's a question exactly how that works. We'll take a look if you get a chance to see the Ran over there, who discusses it. And there is a suggestion that maybe, despite the fact that there is no actual increase in food through this process, but there is a Hanas Adam Toshit, that the act of the giving constitutes a Hana that itself can also go back to the recipient. So you can somehow give and receive Shalach Manas for the same act, due to this principle of Adam Chashuv. That's a suggestion that's put forward by Rabbi Shlomo Werman, Zecharo Lebracha, in his Sefer Sheiritz Yosef. So does that indeed work? So we'll have to see on Sunday. We'll get a little bit more into some of those in Yanin of Purim. Sunday is Rosh Chodesh also, right?
We didn't announce it yet.
Oh, okay. I think Sunday is Rosh Chodesh. So, okay, it's going to be a... interesting. Sorry? Okay, so let's see what we can do with all that. But just to quickly review what we spoke about. So we spoke about the question of what is the whole nature of Adam Chashuv and what are the details. So first of all, what is an Adam Chashuv? So Rashi mentions somebody who's not in the habit of taking gifts. But as you pointed out, it probably doesn't mean that as a definition, because that's not enough to constitute a Hana, but that's part of the story, the definition of something else. Other Rishonim say there is a subjective definition that comes just from whoever you appreciate, and the Taz brought the Talmud Chacham into the discussion. So we talked about you have to establish and clarify what the story is. The Rush says if you want to end the marriage, you need to prove that he is not an Adam Chashuv. Shulchan Aruch quotes that view, but on the other hand, the Rashba says in his Tshuvas that a Stam person is not an Adam Chashuv, and it sounds like the Shulchan Aruch also quotes that in the Hilchos Mechira. So the question is there probably an issue of Moshe Mechavero Olav Haraya. We talked about how the two views about King Chalipin, who gives the Suder, whether that is a problem for this whole concept of Adam Chashuv. And we talked also about the notion of giving a Sadeh, that you can sell a Sadeh by giving the purchaser money if he's an Adam Chashuv. So the question could be asked, why don't we cut out the middle dollar
and don't give her an extra gift, just give her the field and let that be the source of the Hanasa and the Mechashiv. And the Nasan Gestetner discusses that to the Tshuva, notes that you'd be lacking a Kenyan, and that's the problem. And he explains along those lines why the Torah emphasizes in Chayesara, when Adam bought the field, the Torah goes out of his way to say the money was over the socher. In other words, it was actual cash that other people would recognize as cash, and not just a less genuine Kenyan because of his own chashivas. We talked also about how we mentioned the other day that Hanas Adam Chashiv may not work off the principle of Shav Kesef Kesef. So we noted that Rashi over here sounds a little bit like it does, because he's not satisfied with the words of the Gemara of Hahi Hana. He explains it that you would have paid money to somebody else to convince them to take it, and that money is where the Kiddushin comes from. And if you think about it, it really is a little bit of a less mustabi reading of the Gemara. The Gemara says Hahi Hana, and this is really talking about a different Hana, so it's really is noteworthy. And the Taz says that if that's the idea, you don't even need an Adam Chashiv. If anybody who she would have paid someone else to get the party to accept it, that should itself constitute a Shavakruta that is applicable to this goal. And then we talked about whether there's a Ribbis issue, that Jack Levin writes in his Shuvas, if somebody has borrowed money from you and he's not Adam Chashiv, you cannot give him a gift during that time because his acceptance of the gift would constitute a benefit back to you. And the Leon Ashah says maybe even more than that, because if you're not in Adam Chashiv, still there's some Hana, and therefore that should be a problem no matter who it is. And the Leon says either way it's not a problem, because at the end of the day it's going to be less than the value of the gift. So overall, there is no net benefit to the lender, and therefore it's not a problem. And we discussed, could you look at this from a different angle? Could you say that the very act of lending money to the person who's an Adam Chashiv is a problem because of Ribbis? And first of all, that seems to be an impossible conclusion to come to, but probably also could be addressed through Mitzvos Lav and Nitnim. And then we just discussed, or really just kind of teased the issue of Shalach Manas, that the question could be asked, could Adam Chashiv be used in the context of Shalach Manas to say that the same person could be the giver and the recipient? You could give Shalach Manas to somebody and therefore also receive Shalach Manas in the fact that you get Hana from his acceptance of the gift, if that's the case. And the reason it comes into the conversation is because it might be used to explain a Gemara in Megillah on Daf Zayin, which talks about two brothers who basically traded their Shalach Manas to each other and used that for the Suda. So the question comes up there as well, was Adam Chashiv a part of the equation? Okay, so we'll say a little bit more about that on Sunday. Tomorrow, Chumash here. And...